Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in the headlines, in our metaphysics, and in the politics. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana. And I'm joined by Mark.
Mark Wolfs, calling in from New York City.
Wonderful. And I'm pretty good.
Calling in from the other side of New York City, from the bright red.
That's what I thought. I thought we were all the gang's all here tonight.
The gang's all here.
Which is pretty amazing considering that Mercury is as stationary as they come.
Parked in the sky, baby. Parked in the sky.
It is. Yeah. Parked in the sky. Did you see the over the weekend as Mercury stationed square Pluto? And the train that derailed near us here in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
About
5 hours away.
That's not that far here
in Montana. So it's in a flat area in the middle of the day, not particular temperature extremes. They can't figure out why it went off. The engines did not go off the rails, but the cars did, and three people died. And that was so Mercury retrograde stationary, weird. Most of the time, the traveling is fine. Ren came home on a plane from Phoenix. Everything was on time and easy, just as that was happening. But I'm seeing that get worse, and we see all the politics right now where it looked like the bill was doing well, and now it's stuck.
Stalled. It's like,
And what else have you noticed about as Mercury stations in this, this is the second of three, and it's going to go back square Pluto exactly again and trine Jupiter and then come back and hit it for a third time, running it back and forth over those roads.
Well, last week, I knew a lot of people who had, crank, irritated kind of stuff going on with the, with that Mercury hitting that. And it was also on the Moon in Aries, right? So arguments, fights, rah, rah, rah. So that energy is very strong. And then, so now we have past two, revise the story, change it, shift it, go forward, new direction, and then we'll have a third pass. So it ain't over yet. So when I see that, I'm always kind of like, well, we're in the midst of the story, so we're not working on the, we're not in the part where we know how it's going to turn out. We're in the part where stay tuned for exciting information from the planet of communication, because he's going to be giving us messages. What's he telling you? What's he saying is going to happen? And so in our infinite wisdom, paying attention to the heavens, we know, well, whatever the information is, there's more coming, and we should just – I'm always encourage people when Mercury's retrograde, don't take it personally, because a lot of times those things that happen or people say are not going to happen. So in my case of my dad, he called me when he had Mercury retrograde, and I have prostate cancer. I'm not going to get it treated. I'd rather be dead than not have sex. I'm like, what? But, I was a baby astrologer. I called my astrology teacher. He's like, look, it's Mercury retrograde. It'll change. And I'm like, really? And then, of course, the doctor said to him, look, you can not treat it and you'll die of prostate cancer, or you can treat it and you'll die of something else. You'll be someone who had it. And he treated it, and he lived to 91, right? So,
amazing.
Yeah, so we want to kind of go, the information is not complete, but it can make you a little excited is the best way to say it. So don't take it personally, just go,
Ted Kennedy always announced that he was running for president with Mercury retrograde.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And, it's a good time to finish projects you've already started, to bring things to completion, to get the word out, but not to start something new. And to be careful of the decisions made now, especially with Mercury in Libra square Pluto. There's a lot of old issues coming up for people around times when they felt inadequate or they gave up and they believed that communication was impossible, that no one would ever really understand them, and they are stuck. And that's coming in, and I've had, you know, three clients who've been, have, just like your father did, was told they had cancer this week, and I'm telling them just what, you know, you said, we can hold it, no, make no major decisions. Do not sign up for voluntary suicide today. Find, get more information, find out what's going on. You do not have the information that you need to make this decision.
Right.
Yeah, the square of Mercury to Pluto is really important in this retrograde.
What are you seeing, Mark, as far as how
there's a certain intensity I've noticed with this Mercury retrograde that isn't always there. A lot of times it's more silly. This one doesn't seem silly.
Yeah,
and it is kind of interesting how this, how it works. And we'll see how we take it from here. And
well, I think it's important when we're working with him is like saying, you know, it, because we know it's incomplete, but he and Pluto normally get along. Right now they're having a big old fight up there. So that's the other part is normally they're buddies, but they're not right now. You know, Mercury's like, I know your secrets, Pluto. I'm going to tell them. And, and Pluto's like, no. Mercury's like, stop me.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So, yeah.
And so crimes of obsession are on the upswing this week, last week, too. The people have just, with that Venus in Scorpio while Mercury squares Pluto, so I'm hearing more spousal abuse stories and wanting them to shift gears. You know, people are also, with that Mercury trining Jupiter, figuring, how can I free this situation up? How can I liberate it? How can I step away from that into something, you know, into a bigger world? And that's an interesting part of this process here. So what else are you seeing this week that's so juicy and important?
Well, I think it's
we get a
Venus up.
trying Neptune. Middle of the week.
And
that's
how are
nice.
You feeling
it's
that? It is.
It's kind of a party aspect. You know, people enjoy each other with Venus and Neptune.
Or they enjoy the movie or a good book.
Yeah.
You know, we have to give ourselves room to be a little escapist that day. And it's interesting because it's happening the same day that the sun trines Saturn, which is get work done. Oh, but I want to sit in the sunlight and read the book. You know, it's going to be how can you have a vision and then put some sweat equity into it? So that's going to be interesting, the aspects on the 29th.
Yeah.
And
then we're also in the shadow of Pluto stationing. So he stations to go direct on the 6th, and I generally find the 5 days or so leading up to him, you know, he's at the degree of his station, so he kind of digs in. And so that kind of happens this week. So we have the Mercury-Mars-Eris thing on the 1st, and then we go into the Pluto station, and then the new moon that happens next week on the 6th is also pretty potent. It's Sun-Moon-Mars conjunct. And they're in conjunct to Uranus in the sky, almost to the minute. They're 13 degrees. And Pluto stops that day. So it's kind of a big hoo-ha, as we call it down here in astrology land, you know. It's a big hoo-ha.
The end of next week, next Wednesday, I think it is, that so many aspects happening at once that are a bit dangerous. And that's
very intense.
Before the Sun and Mars conjunct, and they both in conjunct. They both quincunx Uranus, and that's going to be an irritating day. Just a day, like, you know, work together to handle the problems rather than let the problems become between you and the other people that are close to you in that process.
Right.
What I was seeing. Let's see if we can hold that, work with that in a good way. Yeah, it's been some interesting aspects coming in, you know, with Mercury retrograde, especially in this Pluto square, I think it was as Mercury stationed that they came out with that information in Arizona that the people that they hired to make it look like Trump had won actually said Biden got several hundred more votes than they thought. but, you know, that,
yeah.
I missed that, really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. The,
oh, wow.
The data ninjas in
the ninja
in Arizona.
Are, yeah, the data ninjas,
yeah. Now,
Biden
they also then made...
Biden got more votes than they counted? Wow.
They had, Biden got more votes when they counted. But they said,
uh-huh.
Well, you know, there's some irregularities here, and we worried about this, and we worried about that. So they covered their ass with the conservative voters with, you know, there could be some more problems. But when they did the careful recount, it backfired.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sad. Well,
no one's saying
fun.
That, you know, and he always, you know, our favorite Bombast, always assumes, you know, takes the best defense as a good offense and is,
mm-hmm.
you know, more states need to do that. That's what he said, thinks, do a recount.
That's what he said.
And how
yeah.
many
well,
hundreds of dollars.
Spend a lot of money,
get
invalidate the voting machines. They have to buy more taxpayer expense, you know, it's like whatever. I mean, I have to say, you know, we gave in way too easy with Gore versus Bush back in 2000, you know, the Supreme Court, and we were
mm-hmm.
like, you know, we weren't yelling and screaming months later. We were like, all right, the umpire called it.
Damn
it. You know, it's, we think it's a bad call, and later when they actually counted the votes, Gore won. But we weren't jumping up and down yelling months later. We got robbed. I mean, it's, you know. It's, I get it, but I'm also like, no, stop now, go home, behave yourself, and, you know, go
mm-hmm.
run, go play a better game next time, you know, or and stop playing around with the voting machine rules. You know,
yeah.
like you're trying to rig the system now, which is fine, go ahead, we'll take you on again. But it's just, it's so, I just find people are really not always following the rules. You know, they're like, well, I was thinking about it because I had, remember when I was teaching and I had these students come up to me and they were very mad at me. And they were very angry
mm-hmm.
with me because I let people cheat. And I said to them, I hear you, but I don't actually know what they're doing. I don't know how they're cheating. You know, I mean, it's not something that's in my thought process, but I'm also not like, you know how they're cheating, tell me so I can stop it, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not aware of it. You know, I mean, I'm not aware of it going on, but I'm also not, and they were all the A students, right? You know, so they were like, you don't know what's going on? I'm like, honestly, no, I don't. You know, and then they told me, well, this one's doing it this way, and this one's doing it that way. And I think that's the other thing. It's like, you know, people being aware of where they're feeling cheated or deprived. And, you know, in some cases, like, okay, well, you know, show me where it is so I can fix it, which is a good thing. But then also the other side of it is if we're not looking at it and we're not seeing it, or we're looking at it and we're seeing it and it's not there, then, you know, how can you fix what you don't know about, kind of thing. So it's an interesting
right.
Interesting
it
argument,
is a, it
but
is
I also
an
look at it as
uncovering...
I did not realize they found more votes, huh?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah. All that money spent,
and
they got to buy all new voting machines because
they
fooled around with their inside.
The CDC, it's perfect. The CDC has, done a study and found that the students in schools with mask mandates had less cases of COVID than students in schools that had mask mandates. What a surprise. But there was some difference of opinion around that here in Montana. So one county did its own survey and found that there was, 18 out of every 1,000 in the schools without a mask, and 5 in a school per 1,000 in a school with a mask. That, you know, they again proved their point that the mask mandate had a point when they were trying to
right.
disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that, you know, that's hard facts are one of the gifts of Mercury Pluto and,
yes.
and Sun Shine
yeah.
Saturn. And, mm-hmm. you know, it could be hard and unpleasant facts like, you know, the client that got, you have stage 4. But it still, you can't do anything without some facts. And just watch out for
right.
the, you know, but it has to. We have to come back to grab those brass tacks, because if people are sharing just opinions with that murky Pluto, it's always going to be the most extreme and crazy, and the other side, and not reality. So, I do ask for facts, yeah. Including yourself. If you start to think worst case scenarios about anybody or anything, go get more information.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't have what
yeah,
you need.
Yeah, it is a Nancy Drew kind of energy. Let's develop. Let's go in. Let's figure it out. Let's work on it. You know, what can we do to get it more seen, more validated, more whatever.
Right, but don't take a shortcut on the facts.
Yes, don't take a shortcut on the facts. Yeah. Yeah.
So while we're in this strange Pluto time, there's no point in really talking about what we're going to do in the years ahead, but does anybody have any news about their astrological position they'd like to share?
You're very funny. What'd you say? You made me laugh, but I started laughing and I wasn't listening anymore.
Yeah.
So do you have any news to share about your work in the months ahead, or anything about your work that you'd like to tell people about while we're here?
Oh, Mercury Retrograde Review. I like that. That's cool. Astrology, and I just did a conference at Omega this weekend. It was lovely. I just got home about 5 minutes before the call-in for here, because I extended and went to a friend's house up there. And we had a lot of people that came, first-time conference. And one of the things that people said, I do this thing for Astrology Hub called Astrology in Your Pocket, where you can get a daily podcast delivered to your email, to your phone, either one, and you can hear an audio 5-minute thing from me about, like, what's going on, you know, in the heavens above and how to work with the energy. And people were at the conference and said, oh, I love Astrology in Your Pocket. And this one couple came up. They were very cute. And they go, we love it, and we listen to you in the morning. You go, good morning, good morning, good morning. And I, you know, I didn't realize that was my trademark for Astrology in Your Pocket, but apparently it is, because a couple people said it. So that's that, and I'm going to be doing a cruise in March on a cruise ship, which I'll be putting up on my website, teaching and cruising.
Cool.
The Caribbean, yeah. So hopefully COVID will be well contained, because we're going to be here in Pisces. So that'll be fun. So we had a great time at Omega.
Oh,
met a lot of people. Had a wonderful time. And it was so nice to be. It was like the first astrology conference since COVID, you know, with people.
Yeah.
There's been online ones. So it was lovely to be able to sit at a table and talk astrology with people. It was so nice.
Oh, bless
and it
you.
Was
I'm
the
still
first
not
conference
up
Omega
going into
had
large
done.
Group.
Yeah, it was the first conference Omega had done with astrology ever. We were supposed to do it last year, and it got canceled, and then this year it happened.
Fascinating.
And, you know, we had
wonderful.
Really pretty good turnout, and a lot of people that had never been to an astrology conference before came. So that was exciting,
wonderful.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so
and
that's my exciting news. You guys?
Mark, do you have anything to share?
Not in particular. No, it's business as usual.
Mm-hmm. How are your yoga classes going? Are you the in-person yet?
Good. Yes, I have one in-person and one Zoom, and then some other Zoom things.
And people can find your Zoom information about your yoga classes where?
Yeah, on dharmarising.com.
Dharmarising.com. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And I have my deck of Astro Oracle cards coming out from Hay House in October.
Yay!
Which I've been working on for a year and a half. So I'm very excited about that. We'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead. But it's pretty cool. It's helping people use the astrological terms and images as oracles, because they're so redolent, astrological images. Mm-hmm. We've got 56 different ones. And that by using them, they get used to the astrological terms and can then, because I find that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people trying to get into astrology, is
right.
Like, oh, there's just too much to learn. And if they
new language,
you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Use it like this, then they absorb the language painlessly. So that's my hope.
That's a great idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is probably one of the hardest parts. Like, what is it again? You know, because, you know, you're learning new language with an older brain, you know. Your brain goes, oh, my God, it's complicated. And it's not once you catch it, but in that initial, like, oh, what again? You know, what? It's like a foreign language. And, yeah, it is, you know. So Very cool. That's exciting, Heather. I mean, I know you've mentioned it, but that's like it's right here now. So
it's right here, right
now.
The deck
is in your hands. You're like, and I have
the deck. What's the title?
It is.
What's the title again?
It's Star Codes Astro Oracle Deck. And I worked with this wild tattoo artist from Australia who Hay House found me to do it. I asked for something like this, and he worked very carefully with me when I said, I need these symbols in this card. And he did it, and he did a pretty amazing job. So I'm really thrilled with it.
Good. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I am lucky enough to have Venus and Mercury in neutral reception, which sometimes is a pain, but I've been lucky in finding my illustrators with it. Which is good.
Yeah.
Do we
really
take
cool.
a call?
I say yes. Let's take a call.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have my solar fire up ready.
Hello,
to go.
Area code 620-404. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, I can.
Okay. My birthday is October 27th, 1967 at 6:04 a.m. in Evanston, Illinois. And I have a question. I don't know a lot about this kind of thing, but I was born in between, like in the eclipses. I think Anne had talked about that one time. But this eclipse on December 4th of this year will be 54 years since I was born. And I was reading something about it makes a full cycle in that. I didn't know if this eclipse would mean any more for me this year than other years. If there's anything to watch for or do about it or...
Can you repeat the birth time and place?
October 27th, 1967 at 6:04 a.m., Evanston, Illinois.
Okay, thanks.
Which I'm not there anymore.
And
now I'm in, yeah.
Yeah. And you are our eclipse queen here. What do you see, Anna?
You're going to kick that question over my way. Okay, cool. So one of the things that happens when we're born on an eclipse is that we have a story that comes. So there was an eclipse on November 1st of 1967, and that's really near your birthday, right? So one of the things that we're going to look at is, okay, what's going to happen this time? And so when we look at the eclipses, we look and say, well, where are they landing in terms of your chart? And, you know, what are they trying to kick up for you energetically? So what an eclipse does is when the lights go out, you know, the sun or the moon disappear, they come in packs, two at least, most times, sometimes as many as four, and they happen when the sun and the moon are within 15 degrees of your sun. So the sun gets near the node, and the node says, "Oh, wow, I'm gonna do this thing with you," and we kind of go, "Ooh, wow, that's kind of exciting. What are you gonna do with me?" So there's an interesting energy with eclipses that invites us to look at them from a different perspective and give ourselves a different understanding about them. So there's one on December 4th, which is obviously past your birthday, and the one we're gonna look at that's juicy, that's near your birthday, is the one on November 19th. But they're both your eclipses. Now, technically, it's not the eclipses you were born under. That happens every 19 years. So we're going to look and say, okay, because you were born with a Libra moon and the nodes are just going into you were born with a Libra node, rather, and the nodes are just about to go into Scorpio. So the eclipse that we have on November 19th, that's the big one in your time, this time, because you're going to have Mars on your Mercury, and you're going to have, so this isn't the one you were born under, but it's the eclipses to the Scorpio planets, and then you're going to have Mercury and the Sun on your Neptune. So that's a lot of energy kind of coming in. And then the second eclipse that happens on December 4th is going to have Mars on your Neptune. So Mars in your chart is a strong planet. It's in Capricorn, down in the third house. We're going to look at sibling stories because Mercury involved. We're going to look at car stories because third house is cars. We're going to look at neighbors. We're going to look at what happened when you were 3 years old around siblings, cars, neighbors, cousins, aunts and uncles. That area of your chart's getting woken up. Now, you're born with the sun on the south node, which is usually, when it's on the north node, it usually takes you forward. Sun on the south node, your chart, and this has been your whole life, it says, okay, we're done now. This chapter is closing. Doors ring, ring, bells ringing. Okay, go, go. And then you get the signal, it's time to leave and go do something else. So a lot of times things end, and that's your cue to move on. And we find that a lot with Scorpios anyway, because, you know, Scorpio is the sign of endings, right? One of the signs of endings. And so your chart will be probably looking at some kind of ending or some change in the structure of that. It doesn't have to be bad, but Mercury as the ruler of your ninth house and the ruler of your 11th house of groups, plus Mercury's siblings, so we're going to look for some changes in those areas. And we're also going to look for, you know, some illumination, you know, with the sun on your Neptune, things that have previously not been clear to you. You're going to go, oh, wow, I get it now. I see it in a way I hadn't seen it before, because at your age, you're also having Neptune trine your Neptune, which is speaking to you a lot about what's your spiritual path. You know, what do you believe and why do you believe it? Now, you are a Virgo. You're not a Virgo, but you've got a lot of planets in Virgo. Your Jupiter, your Venus, your Pluto, your Uranus, your Ceres, your Athena. It's a big clump of Virgo. So that also is shooting over into the fifth house, getting activated by these eclipses because they're talking, you know, the sun is talking to your Uranus. So we're going to go back to what were the changes you were working on when you were 27. What were your dreams when you were 23? How are the situations in your life now asking you to move forward towards your new dream or towards a new dream? And if you did, what would that dream be? So it's a very important eclipse because it's activating your Moon in Leo. Moon in Leo, like, I want to create something in this lifetime. So the chart's kind of saying, you know, you're entering this next chapter of creativity for you. What is it you want to create? And you're like, wow, so we're going to go back to when you were younger, because a lot of times the old stories come up on eclipses, the memories, the stories emerge. So back to age 13, back to age 23, back to age 27, and what was going on then, because those are the ages that were activated. I hope that helps. But the one you were born under is in another year and a half, because we're just entering Scorpio.
And when you're born right before an eclipse, and I gather she was born right before an eclipse, that can that mean that there are situations in your childhood that leave you feeling somewhat eclipsed and not on the front burner?
Yes. And she was actually born between eclipses. So there was an eclipse on October 18th and then November 2nd, and her birthday's in the middle. So she was born between a full moon going to a new moon. So she was born in a releasing energy. Yeah.
And that these eclipses may be able, may be healing in that it could be helping her let go of some of the patterns of not putting herself forward that was part of that eclipse pattern that she was born into.
She was born into sacrifice yourself instead of doing what you want to do. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Saturn's coming up to trine her moon, and the eclipse cycles can say, you can change that now. You can start shifting those gears.
Yeah. And an opportunity to do that, you know, because transiting Saturn's in your fourth house, and he's inviting you to put a new foundation down and saying, hey, where are we going? And you're also having Pluto trining your Uranus, saying, you know, what's the creative thing you didn't do yet that you want to do, or what's undone, you know? And you do have Saturn in the sixth, which tends to make you a little, you know, makes you, you know, you go, oh, it's, well, you know, I don't know, what would happen if I did that, as opposed to, well, let me just do
seconds.
It. Yeah. Mark, what do you want to say?
So we're going to have to wrap up. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, a lot of energy comes together for you from organizing that Leo moon. It's really, it's a very strong moon, and it squares your Mercury natally, and so you have the feeling that, well, if I roar too loud, I'll trip over myself, and it has you feeling you can't walk and roar at the same time, but you can.
Wow. Well, thank you guys so much, Seth. I feel like a lot of change is happening, and I'm excited about it. And so that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I think you're going to like these eclipses.
Well,
I think you'll feel
wonderful.
Like you're set free on some level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try to look at it.
Oh.
In the sky.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I will do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good.
Wonderful.
Okay.
You take
Have
care. And everybody, you know, Mercury retrograde survival skills, take good care of yourself, confirm all reservations, make sure that you are heard the way you need to, and that you understand others as they intended.
Yep.
Good night.
Yep.
This is Heather from Montana. And
from the Red Desk in New York.
And Mark Waltz, New York City.
Okay, so we'll see
Come
you all
in again
next week.
Week.
Yeah, bye guys. Have a good
bye.
Week.
Bye now.
Take notes. Bye.